The next talk will be given by Dr. Jean-Robert Petit about the Vostok Antarctica Deep Ice Core, an iconic climate record within the frame of the Antarctic Treaty. Dr. Petit gained both his first degree and his doctorate in glaciology from the Université Joseph Fourier at Grenoble, France. He began his glaciology studies in 1977 and since 1992 has been the director of the CNRS Laboratoire Glaciologie et Géophysique de l'Environnement. He has spent 16 field seasons in Antarctic collecting or drilling for snow and ice samples. He is a leading international scientist in paleoclimatology from ice cores and has long been involved in the SCAR SAIL, which stands for Subglacial Antarctic Lake Exploration Group of Specialists, as well as in the EPICA Ice Coring Project.
Thank you, Mr. Schumann. First, it's a great honor for me to be here, and I would like to thank very much the organizer and the International Board of the Antarctic Treaty for the invitation. Ladies and gentlemen, dear colleagues, Antarctic lovers, I had the chance to be born at the time, at a good time. It means I benefited from the Antarctic Treaty of the previous activity of the pioneers who set their foot in Antarctica and foresee the interest to explore this continent at the time of the International Geophysical Year. The Antarctic Treaty alleviates the boundary between the countries, and scientists from Eastern and Western blocs were able to travel and to meet, promoting the international collaboration. The Soviet-French collaboration started by the 1980s and was followed by the tripartite collaboration Soviet-US-France, and which became the Russians-US-France collaboration on Vostok Ice Core. And here I will focus my talk so on the result from the drilling project and this adventure, and I will talk on the behalf of the Vostok community that includes the researcher, engineer, technicians, administrative personnel of the Institute, University, Academy of Russia, USA, France, and all field participants, with the support of the Russian Antarctic Expeditions, the US National Science Foundations, and the French Polar Institute. So Vostok was settled at the time of the International Geophysical Year. It was the place was chosen at the geomagnetic pole, South Pole. It was a site interesting for the ionospheric studies. And to display the settlement at this place required considerable logistics and support. So there is a spot at Vostok, and some views of the station some 40 years ago. It is the coldest place on the Earth, and with a temperature well below minus 55 and minus 70 in winter. The drilling operation started by 1975, and the Russians at this time were very skillful, getting the first time 2 kilometers in this place. And collaboration with the bipartite and then the tripartite collaboration started. And you can see on the left side, the red jacket are the US, the blue jacket are the French, and the dark jacket are the Soviets at this time. You can see on the left, we so-called the ice festival. So it's an ice core, 3 meters, 6 meters long, which came out from the hole, which were extracted. And for glaciologists, this is a kind of gold mine. Why the interest of the ice core. So the polar ice preserve archive of the climate, and the layering makes thickens which accumulate for from years to millions of years. From the analysis of the ice, so the isotopic composition of the ice, we get the temperature. From the impurity, we get the atmospheric compositions. And the unique properties of this ice is to preserve in air bubbles a sample from the atmosphere. The ice allow to get high-resolution records over 100,000 years. And again, the ice core has these properties to be an archive of the atmospheric compositions. And you can see here this time coverage of the ice core with respect to the other archives. So the temperature is reconstructed from the isotopic composition of the ice, typically the deuterium, which is linearly related to the temperature, and we have here a so-called isotopic thermometer. So in 1987, there was the first record of the climate from Vostok were published in Nature, and you can see in the middle the temperature, at the top the CO2, and at the bottom the record of the methane over 150,000 years. And this is a complete climatic cycle. This was the first record. So the temperature in the middle has an amplitude of 12 degrees C between interglacial period, the present period, and the glacial period. This glacial period has spent about 80,000 years with respect to very short interglacial periods, the warm periods. Mimicking this record, the CO2 oscillate between high value, about 280 ppmv during interglacial period, and 190 ppmv for glacial period. And this was the first evidence that the carbon cycle is closely linked to the climate. And at this time, it was already wondering about the effect of the CO2 for the future climate as the CO2 was increasing, and this is the value for present day. So the concern about the anthropogenic impact on the climate leads to the establishment at this time of the Intergovernmental Panel of Climatic Change, the IPCC. And the ice record, as well as the direct atmospheric record, fit very well. And you have here the evidence of the connections between between both. So since 1850, we have a new era which was where the CO2 is above all values of the ancient atmospheric concentration, and it's so-called Anthropocene by Paul Crutzen. So the record of the climate was extended at Vostok back to 400,000 years. And again, we get this parallel evolutions of the temperature and the CO2. So now this relationship is extended even over 800,000 years by the record obtained from EPICA as well as from Dome Fuji. What drives the climate cycle? So the path of the Earth around the Sun makes the energy changing, and with a different periodicity. So typically, the change of the energy is the pacemaker of the climatic change. And the greenhouse gases here play as an amplifier of this initial change. So the summary of the policymaker from the report of the IPCC in 2007 make a prospect for a current warming. And this the data from the evidence of the ice core will be still on the represent the evidence of the close link, and it will be important issue at the time of the coming Copenhagen climate summit. I will talk now about the some mode of the climate variability, which was recorded in the Greenland ice core. So during the glacial period, the climate saw some wiggles in the temperature, and what you see here, it's a change above of about 5 to 10 degrees change temperature very rapidly. Comparing this record to the Antarctic record, it was possible through the matching by using the methane. It is the last curves at the bottom from the north and the south, because the methane is typically a temperature signal from the north, which is preserved into the air bubbles in the south. So matching the record from Antarctica, typically the violin curves at the top and the blue curves, to the curves of the Greenland, indicate that the climate change rapidly also in both hemispheres, but the change are asynchronous. It means that the northern hemisphere receives the heat from the south and export the cold water by the North Atlantic deep water. So the advection of the heat from the south may change, and depending on the state of the Atlantic Oceans, it gives this seesaw phenomenon. An evidence is that the warming in Antarctica will drive the warming in the Greenland, and there is a relationship between the duration of the climate warming in Greenland to the temperature in Antarctica. Now, I will finish on the unexpected gift which was given by the nature. So in 1991, the result of the observation from a satellite makes the discovery of the subglacial lake of Vostok. So this flat area here is represent about 15,000 square kilometers surface, indicating there is the presence of a subglacial lake. This discovery was at the same time of the discovery of icy planets, and many of researchers were dreaming about some analogy between what happened in the icy planet and taking the subglacial lakes as analogs. So since then, more than 100, maybe 200 subglacial lakes have been discovered, and Lake Vostok is the largest. So here some radar imagery, and the chance made that the Vostok station is just located on the lake. Here you have the track of the tractors supplying Vostok station, and you can see the station with the airstrip, and the drilling is here. So the drilling penetrated into the lake ice massif, and interestingly, there is 200 meters of ice from the lake, which is just under the glaciers, in the place of the ice, which is thinner. So they reach 600 meters and allow to recover this lake ice. The lake ice, you can recognize it by these very large crystals, as well as many other properties. We find sediments, and the sediments came by the fact that the ice is moving and cross a shallow bay and then cross a relief, so some sediments could be integrated into the ice. So the sediments forms an accretion ice, integrated into the accretion ice. Here you have the glaciers which come from the left to the right at the place of the drilling, and the accretion ice one contains some sediments, and there is about 70 meters, and the accretion ice two is about 140 meters. So strange and conditioned and molecular biology has to be applied to search the print of life in this extreme environment. So typically the lake is has extreme conditions. There is no light, no carbon, poor nutrient supply, excess of oxygen. The excess of oxygen comes from because there is a melting of some ice, freezing in other place, and this makes accumulation of gas into the lake. So the forward contamination is a substantial problem. So from the data which are the most reliable and in which we think that it will be it confirmed by several independent measurements, thermophilic bacterium was found. It was surprising to find some bacteria living in the hot spring, and this one is living typically in Yellowstone or in the hot spring in Japan. It is a bacterium which is a chemolithoautotrophic microorganism. Physiology is based on the hydrogen. So do we have hydrogen into the lake? So likely the scenario we propose is there is some niche which are protected in deep fault, and local tectonics could supply some hydrothermal and produce some hydrogen. So let's conclude with some lessons of this Vostok venture. The Antarctic Treaty allowed the East-West collaboration of scientists at the time of the Cold War. The science as a source of issue and policy agenda for greenhouse gases and climate. By memory, so may the coming Copenhagen Summit could give some positive issue. And of course, it opened new frontiers. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Dr. Petit. And on behalf of the board, you receive the medal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.